Blog Talk Radio.
Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this awesome llama. Make them pizza M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches. South beaches. Surfboard and high tide. I can just roll up cause I'm swole up. So that birthday cake is a cobra. Bugatti for real, I'm cobra. The autobiography rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No stops, only in the color covers. I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come out with me. I know what you came here to do. Now bust it open, let me see you get loose.
It's going down for real.
My tents by limousines. My touch say it's the Midas. With a plus your man a minus. My team blowing on that slam. Make you cough, cough, that's bronchitis. Put your hands up. It's a stick up, no more makeup. Get that ass on the floor, ladies. Put your lipstick up. Double entendre, double entendre. Why you hating? I get money, then I double up tundra.
I know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come out with me.
We're gonna have a little short show tonight because I gotta get out of here to I'm heading to Montana of all places. Going to Montana. Got a family reunion up there. I got a lot of relatives up there, and so that's what I'm doing, man. It's gonna be a good time, but shoot, wish I could go racing. I really do. But gotta go see Grams and stuff, so that's what I'm gonna do. Let's get the music going. We'll be right back at you. This is Harrell. You're listening to Hump Day with Harrell exclusively on Blog Talk Radio.
All I do for you, I do for you, I do for
wonderful to see you abroad. Into the scene, been waiting for a long time. Can't wait for adventures that are yet to come. She maps the miles that we have to run. The pride I have makes me wanna shout.
Is there anyone out there? Because it's getting so hard to breathe. It's so hard to breathe. What's up out there? Man, it's I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited for everyone to get to go racing. I'm not excited for me not to go racing, but I'm excited to go to Montana and see my family and stuff. It's going to be fun. It's like 15 hours up there, man. It's going to be brutal. So we're going to leave Wednesday night. We're going to drive all night and try to take turns and drive all day and be there Thursday afternoon, man. We're going to pull the long haul. I don't drive like I used to, man. I mean, I could drive good, but I can't drive a long time. I used to be able to drive for 8 days, not get tired. Now I drive for an hour and a half, and I'm freaking, my eyes, I got to put toothpicks in my eyelid, falling asleep. It's crazy. But, so we'll mix it up. We'll get there, though. It's going to be fun. So, we got Rodney Rivera calling in tonight. He's going to, give us a little insight on, you know, what it's been in the past, you know, what people have done, and there's always going to be people pushing the envelope, I guess. And, man, I was talking with Mike Smith earlier, and he's got some good insight, too. Hopefully he'll call in, you know. Hopefully he will. But we're going to hit a few more songs. Thanks for hanging out. This is Hump Day with Terrell, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I wanna be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free. I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a centiphone that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop bosses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with the bleached blonde hair. And we'll part out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of the Zoo. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I'm gonna sing those songs that offend the senses. Gonna pop my pills from a Benz dispenser. Get washed up singers writing all my songs. Let's sing them every night so I don't get them wrong. Well, we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars, the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And we'll part out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of the Zoo. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna
Bye, baby. Get up. I'm not sure what that song is all about. Blurred lines. I don't get it. Now you know what that thing, what are they trying to say there?
I'm not sure, man. They're saying something good there, though.
Something good. Man, we've got Nate called in tonight. He's Nate Lavery or Lavery. What, how do you say your last name?
Lavery.
Lavery, okay. Cause that's what I say, man. I mean, you guys don't know too much about Nate, but he's kind of crushing it in the KPX right now. He's in second in the points in the KPX. And I don't know, I don't think there's anybody else in second in the KPX because he's the only one in second. But, man, good job, Nate. You're crushing it out there this year.
Yeah, I've been trying to hold it pretty consistent. I got some pretty heavy hitters out there that are racing against me this year that missed the round. So I know I definitely have a few guys that are up in the championship with me to battle with to the end. So I can't wait. I'm excited. This is my first year racing the KPX full season. I haven't raced since 2007. And, man, this is my first season back racing, and I'm just happy to be able to get out and race and have a good time and hanging out with all the boys and masters, having a good race season for sure.
right. What so you used to kart a little more? You used to kart a bunch when you were younger a little bit. Is that the deal?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I had that opportunity when I was younger to race, and then my parents got a divorce, so I wasn't able to have that opportunity. And then Joey Hand actually gave me the opportunity to start racing in 2005, and I was fortunate to be able to race for IMIC in 2005, 6, and 7, and then I had a child, and then I retired after having a kid, and then I really haven't been able to race much, but maybe a handful of times since then, and
right.
I'm fortunate to be able to race again this year.
Good. I'm sure glad you are, man. I'm sure glad you are, because It's fun to drive with you for a second anyways. And it's fun to, man, see you just, you know, come out of nowhere, really. Last year, I remember you were in Fresno and you kind of struggled there a little bit. And, man, then all of a sudden you just started clicking. It was like, oh, man, well, what happened here? Because all of a sudden you were on one, you know what I mean? And you've been,
yeah.
You've been running up front. You've been a top five contender all year, right?
Yeah, all year, I got passed by Brian Rivera got by me on the last lap of Prairie City from a lapper got in our way, so he swooped around me for fifth at Prairie City. So I took a sixth for Prairie City, but yeah, pretty much I've been top five. I just want to be consistent. I just want to stay, you know, not really get into no tangles. You know, I don't want to be that person that caused accidents. I just want to race. I'm just, you know, we all got to work the next day, you know, it's a Sunday. So, you know, we all got to get up and go to work on Monday. And, you know, and I just want to keep all four wheels on the ground and have a good season of racing, man. I enjoy racing with these guys, and, there's a lot of heavy hitters in this class. And I know you know, as well as I do, Harrell, like a lot of these guys got a lot of years in racing go-karts. I'm fortunate to be able to compete with these guys with what skill I have, and I know I still have a lot to learn, and but I'm just glad to be able to compete with some of these guys that have been racing for, you know, half 20 plus years, you know. There's
yeah,
some of these guys have been doing it over half their lives, you know.
right. Like I say, they all have multiple championships, you know what I mean? It's like they've been around, you know, like Steve Kemp, for instance. He's had championships in boats and cars in dragsters in jets. I mean, he's done a lot, you know what I mean? The dude's been racing for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was funny. Me and my girl, we were talking to Steve last week, and we were at Davis. You know, I finished third. I qualified second. I started second for the final, and Baker got by me at the start of the race, and I really just didn't really have nothing for him. His car was really good, and I was really happy. He ran a really good race, and
right.
He was running really good, and
was
you know
tough,
we were
dude,
hanging
okay.
out in the back there, you know. But I was doing some testing with the cart for actually this coming up weekend for KPX, and you know, we tried
dude,
some changes
weird,
on my car.
You ever felt that track like that before?
No, that was my first time running
I mean,
on that
was,
type of
I was,
surface.
I was
like
so
I said,
stuck.
I was overstuck,
bro.
And
I was so stuck.
Yeah,
it was insane. It was like someone was hitting my brakes when I hit the corners. You know, it was like a little little gremlin was down there just, you know, dragging my brakes every time I started turning. It's like, man, I'm surprised the whole field didn't go by me. I was overstucker 22 feet. I was overstuck.
Yeah,
you know
when
I
ran,
it was crazy.
Well, this is how bad it was for me. When I started in the morning, I ran a 41 flat for a qualifier. And my 41 flat went to a 41.7 to a 42 flat by main.
Right, I gained
so
a 10 through that.
Yeah, the cart was definitely falling off pace really fast, and it's gonna be a really good race this coming weekend. A lot of people, we want to buy new tires, old tires. We don't know what's going on with the tire issue right now. Some people say the tire's really good on new tires. Some say it's really good on old tires.
It's how your cart, so, you know, it's how you tune your cart, bro, I think, you know.
Yeah, it is that too. But we did testing on last Wednesday. The track temperature, we got there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Track temperature was 70 degrees. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 138 degrees.
Wow.
So,
wow.
We're looking at
Let me bring in another 16. Caller here real quick. Okay, Nate, hold on a minute here. I think we got Big Rod on the phone.
Yep, that's me.
All right, Rodney. What's up, dog?
Rodney.
Hey,
what's up, Rodney?
Nate's on the phone with us, Rod.
I'm sorry, who is it?
Nathan, Lavery.
Hey, Nathan, how you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Getting excited for this weekend, KTX and Davis.
Say that again.
When you showing
up?
I'm sorry,
we'll probably be there Friday. Probably Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon? Sounds good.
Nice, man. I'm a little jealous. We don't get to talk too much about KTX, all right? That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about me and Montana. But we're just talking with Nate here. He called in, and he's actually second in the points in the KPX right now for Masters. He's doing pretty dang good, man. So, and we were just talking how he used to race with Emick back in the day. Joey Hand kind of hooked him up, and he was racing for Emick and had some babies and got out of it. Now he's just getting back into it. So, it was we were actually talking about Davis and how gripped up the track was. I asked him if he'd ever seen it, you know, or felt that gripped up, and he said, hell no. He went down to 42s, too, flat, by the end of the main. It's like, man, dude, I couldn't get under a 42. I was a 42.1, 42.2. It was like, what the heck? I'm going slower than I've ever been around this thing. It was insane. It was. It was a tenth a lap, I think, is what I looked at, is what I dropped off. It's crazy. It was weird. What do you do right there? I mean, you can't really adjust your driving to do much with that, huh? You just kind of dealt that car and you got to deal with it?
Well, like we said, we talked about it last week with Nelson. He was talking about it. And, you know, the track temperature, like I said, when we did testing on Wednesday with it, you know, the track temperature went up, you know, 60, 70 degrees within 4 or 5 hours. So,
that's crazy.
With you being setups and adjusting the car, you're gonna have to make big adjustments and setups, because this entry here, I believe at KPX, this entry, we're gonna have more entries. I'm thinking probably 130 to maybe 140. If we put the club and everything in this week, it's gonna be a lot more turnout. So it's gonna pick up more rubber.
It's gonna be a club race. It is for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
That sucks. But oh well.
So it's club, and it's going to be the KPX series too. So you got to remember, and then you got to remember, we average like 65, 70 to 80 club members. And then we're going to bring the whole KPX crew.
We're going to bring
So we're
looking
at 120, 130 entries, I'm thinking, this weekend. Just imagine the rubber is going to come on that track.
Right. Oh, my Atlanta.
It's going to rub her up.
Yeah, it is.
So,
wow. So So that's some good knowledge for you people out there that are listening. You know, listen to what Nate's saying, you know, and he's saying, 50, 60 degrees, you know, it goes up in 3-4 hours, you know, take warning to that, you know, and adjust accordingly, man, because I'll tell you what, it was like someone was hitting it. I mean, it's like someone tied a piece of gum under my brake, and when I hit my brake once, it'd stick there for a while. And then once I got going straight, then it would try to unstick. You know what I mean? It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting rubber smacked in my face with a 206,
yeah,
you know?
It was
like,
yeah,
I don't recall. I remember running like a tag and having, you know, rubber flying and hit me in my face, you know, rubbing off the tire, you know, like
right.
Racing tag. But man, I don't ever recall it in a 206.
No doubt.
getting smacked in the visor with the freak with the rubber, you know, like it's basically, you know, the rubber coming off your tire, you know.
Right.
So
that's good advice right there, everybody out there. So there's been a lot of controversy lately, and I mean, there always is in karting. It seems like, you know, everyone's got something to say, and there's just been some stuff going on. And I don't even know for sure what it is, you know what I mean? Because I haven't really been on the social media. I've been trying to lay low on that whole deal. And, you know, I just kind of, I don't know, I don't get too into it. But, man, you guys agree with me? There's been people that have been pushing the envelope, per se, since karting was invented, since racing was invented. And there's going to be people pushing the envelope until the last day of racing there ever is. You know what I mean? There's always going to be people trying to get that little extra edge, or, you know what I mean? And trying to just get a little bit more. Don't you guys agree? I mean, it's been here and it's going to stay. It's not going anywhere.
It's always going to be like that.
Right. So people make it like a huge deal, and it is. I mean, it's kind of frowned, you know, it's like, oh, bummer, but whatever, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Move on. Right. You just got to move on and tighten up the ship. I mean, Pelizzar is doing a pretty good job of Tekken, so it's like you can't really get much by those guys.
No,
you know?
Not at all. I mean, you're running a basic 206 Briggs motor. I mean, those guys are basically tearing them down to the block. Basically, when you go to these races, you're not capable of really cheating in any way. And if you think you're cheating, then I mean, that's just, you're just belittling yourself to being a better person. And especially if you get caught doing it, you know?
Right.
I can imagine myself cheating and then getting caught doing it after winning a race, you know, and getting caught cheating. I would never want to come back to race again. I would just feel, like, ashamed of myself, you know, and the people that do it should feel the same, you know?
And I'm sure they do, and, you know, maybe there's other circumstances that we don't know about, too. Who knows? You know what I mean? I mean, I just try to keep an open mind. I don't really put nothing on anybody. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, you got to figure the junior two drivers don't have much to say. You know what I'm saying? We can't say nothing about the junior one drivers. We can't say nothing about the junior two drivers, but we can say something about the senior and the master's class, because they do know what the hell they're doing with their motors. You know what I'm saying? The junior two drivers, they don't know nothing what they're doing, because that's all on the dad's shoulders that are teaching the kids the ethics of racing, you know? And if they want to teach your kids that that's how you win to cheat, then those kids don't belong racing, you know? The father don't belong racing. It's like, you got to we race a class to compete, to everyone be mutual and be the same, and then the talent comes out of the kid to show who's better, you know?
Right.
Not the cheating point of racing. I've raced a lot of different types of things in my life, and I'll tell you, like, cheating, yeah, you could cheat in a lot of things, but do you feel better after cheating if you won something? No. I mean, would I feel better about myself if I won this championship this year by cheating, by, you know, shaving my head or doing whatever these guys do to their motors to make them faster? No, not at all. I would, like, be... everything. You know, there's a lot of guys that are doing a lot of shit to the motor.
I'm going to razor right now. I'm going to go shave my head right now. I'm going to shave my head.
Get
it
done. And you'll be that much faster. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I mean, I shaved my head earlier this year. I shaved it earlier this year. I didn't get faster. It's kind of growing out right now.
Hey.
I'm going to shave it.
All these guys, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the motor I got is box stock. I've literally, the only thing I've done is check my freaking, my lash and my valve. That's it.
Right.
Bone stock motor. Bone stock, dude. Just bolted right on, broken in. Only thing I got. And all these guys are spending hundreds of dollars needing this motor, needing that motor, this and that. And that wasn't the ethic of this whole class of coming up. It was supposed to be a bolt on a motor and race.
It is. It still is. I mean, you know, all that motor, all they're doing to a motor, Nate, is like making sure it's all tuned up good because you can't really do anything to it. So all they're doing.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like all these people, they make it a big deal. Like it's like they're doing all this shit to the motors, but honestly, you really can't do nothing to the motors, you know?
Right.
You really can't.
And a guy like me that doesn't know how to dial in the motor, that helps huge, you know what I mean? Because the little tiny things on, you know, on those motors is a tenth here, tenth there, tenth there. And it helps me tremendously when I've got some working on it for me. Because I don't know.
I hear you. I was told today somebody's going to get a motor, and as soon as they build it, they're going to be four tenths faster right off the bat. I don't believe that.
Right.
When it comes to that close of racing, if you're getting a motor and you're rebuilding and you're four tenths faster right off the bat, dude, that's got to be adjustment to the cart, or that's got to be your driving ability, you know? The motor can't be that much faster, you know?
Well, apparently, if you look on the times, that the particular person was like over a half a second slower in the main than it was in the heat. You know, once they, you know, put it back in
the
normal.
I know.
You know, that was a big difference, you know?
But, yeah, there is ethics, though. When you can do valve lash and springs and everything else, and, you know, like, you know what you're doing with that type of stuff. Yeah, you can make a tenth or two on a motor. I believe that.
Right, for sure.
It's like you can do that also by tuning your cart or, you know, adjusting it right. Like, you know, Penton says. You go out there with the 1985 chassis. As long as you know how to set that chassis up, you know how to tune it, you can put any motor on it and you can go fast. You know, I've known guys that went up north and ran the Can-Ams on a 3-year-old 206 motor and won the race. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, that motor wasn't even looked through. It was an old beat up 3-year-old motor, you know, and given to somebody like Austin Elliott, that's a freaking dude that knows how to drive anything and he'll win with it, you know? So,
right.
I really don't think it's all about the motor. I really think a lot of it's about the driver, man. I'm telling you.
For sure.
The driver and the tuner.
You know, if I can get my car dialed in, I've always said if my car's all dialed in 100%, I can run there. I'm running where I need to run. If it's not dialed in, then I'm not running there. You know, it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, Rodney, what do you think? Yeah. It's more driver and cart than motor?
You know, I've always been about all three. I mean, you have to have the complete package to win consistently. You have to be a good driver. You have to know how to set up your chassis at every track and track conditions. And your motor program has to be top-notch if you want to win on a consistent basis. All three have to be going. I was never minus one of those elements and won championships. All three aspects have to be on par to consistently win at high levels.
Right. That makes sense. If you're at the top level, you got to have it all going on or you're not, you
have,
you know,
to
if you're...
have it all. I was never missing one part of that and won. Now, yeah, you can get a good driver and go and race against average racers, average drivers, and go win on a mediocre engine. But when you're up against top caliber drivers and good competition, all three aspects of your program have to be rolling. Your driver, your chassis, and your engine program, it just has to be. That's the way I've always seen it, and I focus on those three elements. There's no doubt the most important element is the driver, though, period. It's the most important, but you can't turn your back on any other part of it. You can't let one part of that equation, you can't ignore either one of those three parts of the equation. You just can't. Everything has to be clicking in order to win. and that's just the way it is, and I think it always has been. I there's always with engines and chassis, in my opinion, that's the easiest part to eliminate. And I think that's why people go to that, because it's the easiest part to eliminate as being the problem why you're not winning. So people buy new chassis, buy engines, get them built, buy motor builders, whatever they're doing, and they're trying to eliminate that part of the equation. And
that was me.
And get to that point where, okay, it's not the equipment. Now it's the driver. Let's focus on driver.
Right.
Let's get this going. And that's the part that takes years. It takes years to figure that part out. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, because everybody, today's world, everything's about quick fix. Everything's about instant results. And in karting, in racing, you have to be behind the wheel. You have to be racing. And you have to be racing against high-caliber people in order to learn things. And you have to have your eyes and ears open. And you have to be up there, and you have to be figuring out what's going on. You're going to get beat. You're going to get knocked down. And you got to learn from it. And that's the only way you're gonna win. And like I said, motor is a part of the equation, and it has to be, in my opinion, it has to be on par with everybody else's stuff.
Right. It's like having your carb not adjusted. Your flow through, you know, is too high, and it's dumping too much fuel in, or even on the 206, you know what I mean? Those little things like that, that all have to be working good too, or you're just not going to have to pull out of the corner like you should, or you know what I mean? Because I've had that scenario
right, where
it's like, oh, man, I feel like I don't got no juice, and they don't move that needle a couple, and all of a sudden it goes brah, brah, and it's like a whole new motor comes alive. You know,
right.
I mean, we're talking a quarter of a horsepower coming alive, but you can feel it.
Yeah.
But you can definitely feel that, you know, and when someone gets your motor all dialed for you and it's dialed, or if you're doing it yourself, whatever, but you definitely feel a difference, you know. And that's what I kept thinking was, man, what's up with my motor, dude? My motor's going to blow up. Last weekend, you know, at Davis, I'm like, man, this motor's going to blow, dude. Something's wrong with it. Because I just couldn't, it wouldn't go. You know, and then I was trying to, it hit me after I'm watching my lap times, and all of a sudden I look down and see a 42, and I'm like, what the? You know, because I started out with like a 41.2 or something, two or three. I mean, my first couple laps were hot, and then all of a sudden it just started.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the whole problem with that track. When the motor heats up, I mean, I don't know what your casing temp was, but I was watching my case temp on my motor, and I mean, I'm running like 190, 195. And I think I might have hit like 200 a couple times when I was trail breaking a few, when I was actually trying to go faster, but it wasn't really working. The track, when it gets really stuck, overstuck, I honestly, this is the shortest track we'll race on all year. So everybody that hasn't really know much about the Davis track or a race on it, they really don't really know what's coming, you know.
Right.
We're going to run 18 laps on a track that's super high bite. I mean, I went there on Wednesday, and the track was still black and rubber. And we only had 90 entries, I think, for the, you know, for the Lynn Emick Classic, you know, 90 entries. Another 40 or so entries on the track. I mean, we're looking at a black rubbered up track. It's going to be. It's going to be, everyone's going to be throwing arms at it, you know, and the people that really didn't do no practice on it, you know, I've seen a few people that were out there last week that I was surprised to see, you know, show up on Saturday to practice on the track, you know. Rodney's brother, Brian Rivera, was there. He was running on the track, and you know, he got down to a one, I think, was his fast time, and, you know, and I was telling them, dude, the track's going to get even slower, bro. That once the track picks up rubber, it's going to get slower and slower and slower and slower. So, you know, they're surprised. And, you know, last year, the track's resurfaced now. So it's going to be a whole nother – it's going to be different this year, you know. The people that actually run on the track and actually get time on it are going to be the fortunate ones, because they already know what to do. I'm still in left field because I've only raced on the track twice this year. But – I know that it's gonna be different for sure, and it's gonna be a hot one. 105, 108 outside. You know, it's gonna be hot.
So. Is that what it's gonna be? Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's gonna be in the hundreds. Yep. It's gonna be in the hundreds. Friday's gonna be 102, 103, and they're saying Saturday's gonna be triple digits all weekend. So.
Sweet, dude. That's always awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it says right here I'm looking at 101 on Sunday and 100 on Saturday. So.
Yeah.
But
here, we're looking at Davis. It's going to be 2 or 3 degrees hotter. So.
Right.
It's going to be like 103, 105 probably, I bet.
Right.
But good though. Anyway, I don't care.
What do you say? I mean, I know there's a lot of ranting, raving, and going, and about like, you know, I saw some stuff about doping tires and stuff. You think there's other? I mean, if one person gets caught, there's other people that are trying to push the envelope. It's not the only one out there, you know, because I'd say there's a handful at least, because that's what people do, right? Is they try to push the envelope, man, and they're gonna do anything you want. Which I don't understand is if you're running in the back or you're running in the middle. What's the big deal? I mean, you're going to gain a couple tenths and you're still going to be running. You know, I don't understand that. You know,
I mean, honestly, I'm really looking at they're going to nail the heavy hitters this weekend. I believe. I don't know how Rodney feels it, but I believe this weekend they're going to be specifically looking for the fast guys, and they're going to be nailing them down and trying to do what, and, you know, They're going to try to catch somebody doing something inappropriate. But I believe in my heart that I believe everybody should be in the master class and the senior class. I believe everybody's legit. I don't know about the junior 2 class, you know, and the junior 1s. I'm not sure what the dads are doing, you know, because those are their kids and whatever they want to do to get them to go faster. But I believe the seniors and the masters, everybody's going to be legit. You know, I don't believe nobody's trying to pull over anybody. You know, everybody wants to be fair and square. And I believe nobody wants to be called a cheater. You know, that's like the worst, you know. They could show up to a track and be called like, oh, that guy's been caught cheating. You know, you don't want to be called that. You know, that's like, you wouldn't even want to race if you were. I mean, I know myself. If I was called a cheater, I've been caught cheating. I know myself. I wouldn't want to be going to the track, you know. I'd feel like, you know, I feel disgraced, like, fuck, dude, like, these guys all think I'm a cheater, like, you know, like, I feel bad, you know, like, fuck that shit.
Right, I think anyone does. I mean, anyone, you know, like, in big sports, you know, when you get caught juicing or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, look at what's his name, Phelps got busted smoking weed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He felt bad, you know, he felt bad, but he didn't really care, but he probably still felt bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because everybody looked down on it, you know? So,
right. I mean, and it happens all over the place, you know?
Yep, it does. Even in NASCAR, you know, they get caught cheating in NASCAR. They get caught cheating in fucking Formula One, you know? They're like, in every type of aspect of racing, you know, they get caught cheating or, you know, something happens sometimes. You know, there's always something that might happen. You know, you can't be perfect. So.
What about, Rodney, what about the Honda that they had cheating on, they were porting it or something, the exhaust or something. It took them a long time to figure that one out, huh? They finally did?
Right, yeah, in stock moto, I mean, yeah, they confiscated some motors from a certain race, and they confiscated, you know, 4 motors from different motor builders, and, you know, unfortunately, one of them came back illegal with porting and stuff like that, and was deemed to be illegal and stuff like that. It's tough. It's a black eye on the sport for sure. But in this day and age, I mean, winning is, you know, you see it on TV, social media, whatever it is. I mean, winning is the ultimate high. It's the ultimate prize, you know, and people are willing to do it and willing to go that far. And, you know, some of these people with tons of money or egos or whatever, I don't think they really care. I mean, you look in NASCAR, those guys don't care. The show goes on the next week and they win and it's over. I don't think they lose fans. I don't think if they do lose fans, they lose a couple.
I gained a couple.
Unfortunately, I think some of these parents, you know, if your motor builder or tuner or somebody is willing to go that extra mile for you, they feel some kind of loyalty, you know, with the kid. You know, the parent thinking this guy's so loyal, he's willing to put his reputation on the line for my kid. And sometimes these parents look at that as a bonus, you know, and it's sometimes crazy how it's built up to that. And I don't get it, you know, I don't get it. I don't deal with that stuff. Everything I do has to be legit. I have a reputation. I have a shop. And like Nathan said, I ain't going to the track knowing that I've cheated and people looking at you. That is not how I want to be perceived at the track. No way. And I have a conscience, man. I can't do that stuff.
Right, right. To me, it's just telling yourself that you don't believe that you can get up there anyways. You know, you don't have any faith in yourself. So
yeah, exactly. Like, you ain't got the talent.
Right, right. I've only got a few minutes left here, you guys. We're only doing an hour show tonight, but I wanted to tell everybody out there, if you're thinking about it, man, just work on your driving. You know what I mean? It's all about the driver. You got to put your time in, man. What you got to do. You know what I mean? I learned that. I thought getting a new car was going to make me faster. It didn't. It made me a tiny bit faster, but nothing, you know, big. And so it's about driver. You know, it's about putting in your time, and that's what we got to do, is put in time. And so don't get discouraged, you know what I mean? We just had a text from a friend of mine, Bobby, and he was saying that people get discouraged because they think it's all this other stuff, and they don't see that it's the driver, you know what I mean? And man, you just got to work on the driver, so don't give up. Hang in there, man. You're going to get it. You know, it takes a long time to get. It's not an easy sport. So hang in there, put in your time, and you're going to get faster, I promise. Rodney, thank you so much for hanging out tonight, man. I really appreciate it. I got to get so I can get your condo dialed in for you, buddy. And Nate, it was good talking to you too, man. I'm glad you're on the show, dude. I really am. That's awesome. And we'll have you on again. I'm going to be gone, so I'm going to try to get somebody to do my show on Wednesday. Maybe I can do it from the road and have someone, you know, work the studio or something. But thanks to all the listeners out there. I hope you guys have a great week. Good luck to everybody at the KPX. Kick some ass. Drink lots of water. And we'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Hey,
man.
You too, Arell.
All right, buddy.
Hey,
take it easy, man.
Hey, Arell. Good talking to you, buddy.
See
everybody. Hey, Rodney, I'll talk to you this Friday, buddy, at the track.
All right, man. Take care. We'll see you then.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
I'll see you this weekend.
All right.
Later, Ro.
First you both go out your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again.
Damn. All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it.
Tell you.
When I see you again.
find your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you're gonna be with me for the last ride.
Don't let the light guide your way. Yeah. And every road you take will always lead you home. Oh, it's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began.